thank you, everybody, for being so patient with us this afternoon. It has been a very busy week for all of us who care so deeply about what happens in Israel and what happens with the peace process. It's been busy for us here. It has been very busy for mostly in Israel. We had a very dramatic election on Tuesday. On the one hand, an election that took place in the wake of the war, where there was so much politics of fear that were involved, the forces that were talking in terms of war and in terms of fear, like the Likud party and like Lieberman's Israel Beiteinu party, failed to get as many votes as the polls had predicted. But at the same time, we have an incoming Knesset that is far to the right of the outgoing Knesset and to the right of ones in recent memory. And so to help us make sense of this situation and of what the peace camp and specifically Peace Now needs to do, will do in the coming period to make a difference and to keep the peace process on track, we have Mosi Raz with us today. Mosi, for those of you who don't know, is a longtime leader of Peace Now. He was, in fact, the Secretary General of Peace Now about 10 years ago, before he went into the Knesset, where he served for one term. He is a major in the IDF. He was a candidate for the Knesset on the merits list again this year, and at this point missed being in the Knesset by really a very slim margin. We are very pleased to have Mosi as a leader of Peace Now, and we're very pleased to have him here today to share some of his observations. So with that introduction, Mosi, I open it to you.
Yes, Noam, thank you. We should expect Netanyahu to be the prime minister and Kadima, the Israeli Beiteinu, part of this coalition. This is the most likely, I think, scenario. And the second scenario is that Kadima goes to the opposition, and then Netanyahu has to form a coalition with 65 members of the right wing bloc. Now, we know that the first reaction of people like us is, okay, this is a terrible scenario to go to a government only of the right wing, and maybe a coalition with Kadima is better. I'm not sure that this is so. I must say, personally, I am very disappointed of the last government of Kadima and Beiko. I think that in many terms, this was one of the worst, if not the worst, government that we ever had. Yes, in talking, they talked about this process, but nothing was on the ground. We know more settlements, more checkpoints, no negotiation. Two wars in Gaza and Lebanon, and I'm not sure that right-wing government could do better from the eyes of the settlers. And the fact that Kadima can be a part of the coalition or part of the opposition can, I think, make a lot of change how the coalition perceives itself. Because if it's right-wing coalition, I think that they will not have... If they don't have Kadima as, you know, kind of their lawyers, they will have a lot of support from the opposition in Israel, very large opposition. If Kadima is part of this opposition with Labor and Meretz, they will have a lot of pressure from the opposition in Israel and from the international community. So I'm not sure what possibility is better to the peace process. And I want to remind that... In spite of the fact that, of course, all of us are frustrated from the results, and of course, all of us are really afraid from right-wing government, from a government led by Mr. Netanyahu. If I compare Netanyahu to Olmert, I think that Olmert was much worse. Because, like I said earlier, I think he used to build more in the settlements. He doubled the checkpoints, so Netanyahu did not do that. And Netanyahu signed on Hebron Protocol, which is actually saying withdrawal from all the West Bank except military locations and settlements. He negotiated with Arafat. He withdrew from Hebron and 2% of the West Bank. I'm not sure that if he was the prime minister, he could have gone to such a problematic war in Gaza if to use so much violence. So I'm not sure that the scenario is that bad. Of course, Netanyahu is not going to bring peace to Israel. But I'm not sure that the scenario of right-wing government is worse than two parties like Likud and Kadima, or three parties like Likud, Kadima, and Labor government. And they do hope that Labor and Meretz in the opposition, maybe with Kadima, maybe without, will build the alternative of the peace camp. And probably in 3 years we'll have elections again, like always in Israel, it's 3 years. And then everything can be different.
Mosi, I'd like to take the prerogative of the chair and ask you to look into the future and assume that we do indeed see a very right-wing government take hold in Israel. What do you see as the role of peace now in that environment? And do you think that a right-wing government could be sustained for a long period of time, or will it have to end its term prematurely if based on public pressure or other items?
I think that right-wing government, from the terms of peace now, is the easiest situation, because then it is very clear to our people what are we talking about, what is our protest about, and it is easier to mobilize them. I think that some of the things that the last government has done were so terrible, but the most terrible fact was that we could not mobilize people to protest against labor in defense ministry, and Olmert has somebody from Kadima, yes, center or center-left, as the prime minister. So I think that even the same things would have been done by Netanyahu, we mobilized tens of thousands of these now protesters, members, or supporters to the streets. And so from this point of view, it is going to be maybe a very terrible time to Israel, but a very easy time to peace now to act.
My name is Peter Gray. I'm in Washington, D.C. I'm wondering if you could comment a little more about why you think Avigdor Lieberman got more mandates and why he was so popular in the voting in high schools, number one. And number two, what kinds of organizing efforts do you see both in Israel and in the U.S. that can counteract such a disturbing trend?
Okay, the first question is, I think, easier. Netanyahu got a lot of seats because two main reasons. The first one is that he used the hatred to the Palestinians, and mainly, by the way, not to the Palestinians in Gaza and West Bank, but to the Palestinians in Israel, Palestinian citizens of Israel, and this hatred increased much in the last month because of the war in Gaza, because of the support of some of the Palestinians Israelis to this war. And he used this hatred, like we know from other countries in the present and in the past, using hatred to, you know, to newcomers or to people who immigrated or to minorities. This is exactly what he has done. He said that if they don't go to the army, they will not be citizens of Israel. They will not get national insurance if they don't go to the army. And it is young people, it was very popular to support that. The second reason why he got a lot of votes is the fact that he is actually the only representative of 1.5 million new immigrants from Russia who came here in the last 20 years. He's actually his only representative, and they are about 20% of the vote. About 50% of them voted for him, mainly because he came from Russia. Probably most of them support his views, but this was not the main reason to vote for him. So, but of course, the first reason is much more important, and many people voted for him because of the hatred that he used. I'm not sure if I check. The 15 members of Knesset from Israel Beteno. I compare them to the people, for example, to the 7 representatives of the settlers. I can tell you for sure that Israel Beteno is not the most extreme party in the parliament. But the fact that they use the hatred towards citizens of Israel, they were the most extreme. They are not the most extreme vis-a-vis the peace process with the Palestinians, vis-a-vis evacuation of settlements. Of course, they have another provocative demand vis-a-vis the Palestinians, and this is the demand that in peace agreement between Israel and Palestine, and you have to understand, this is interesting because they do talk about peace agreement between Israel and Palestine. So in such a peace agreement, we should actually have swap of territories, but the difference between their swap to, let's say, our swap in Geneva Initiative is that they want to swap territories with the Palestinian residents of Israel in them and actually to move them to Palestine. So from this point of view, they are very provocative.
Thank you very much, Mosi. This is clearly...
You're more than welcome.
It's always important to hear your voice. You're somebody with a lot of experience and a great deal of insight to share. This is a moment of real flux in Israel and in political power, and it's a moment that changes the environment in which peace now does its work. And as Mosi said, it may be a time in which it will be easier for peace now to get its message out to the broader public in Israel and even here in the United States. It certainly is a time when I think Israel and those of us who care about Israel need peace now to be a real vibrant movement, to be a voice, to let Israelis know what's going on in the West Bank in terms of settlements, to speak clearly to the Israeli public, to create the public pressure and to help guide the way to show what Israeli policies could be and should be in the months and years to come. And none of us know what this government will look like, and none of us know how long it will be in power, but one thing is for sure is that peace now in Israel, with mostly among its leadership, and here in the States, Americans for Peace Now, we are going to keep pushing our agenda to help Israel and Palestinians reach a two-state solution. And I thank you all for joining us on the call this afternoon.